Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. Kate here. Do you miss the Euros? I really do. I know it's only been two days, but yeah, feels like a lifetime. Only the other day we were watching that tiny little car drive out into the Stadio Olimpico. I wish it wasn't over. I wish it was still happening, but it's not. So what we've decided to do is two episodes taking you back through the tournament from start to finish. We've got a clip from every single day that we did throughout that delicious Euros. We're going to enjoy it. We hope you do too. We've got bits from the best game of the tournament today. Obviously, I won't have to remind you that was England-Scotland. All of the group of fun action, Patrick Schick's ridiculous goal. And of course, the car. Plenty of the car. Enjoy yourselves and come back tomorrow. We've got another one from after the group stages. And we'll have all the tastiest bits of that. Here we go.
I am Sven Goran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
We haven't got leaders. They're all just head forward.
Unfortunately, there's an error in judgment on my behalf.
England win a World Cup penalty shootout!
It's the final countdown, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. The European Championships begin today. It's Friday, 11th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
I'd like them to get Germany if they get through the group as winners, because I'd like them, because I think they're better than Germany. I think they know they're better than Germany as well, and it's a great time to play Germany.
Yes.
Okay, I understand we want to be realistic about England's chances, because, I mean, you know, the realism always smacks us in the face at some point. Hopefully it'll be later rather than sooner.
Why do you want to be realistic on the first day of a tournament?
Well, Andy.
What's wrong with you?
Let us depart from the realism.
Look at the running order, Andy.
Yes.
It's a joke coming. It's part of the illusion.
Andy.
Yeah, he's got to set it up.
Psychic Nicholas Ayula.
There we go. It's all a right. Psychic. Not an octopus, but we'll get there at some point, I'm sure.
It comes to something where we're holding the opinion of an octopus above a psychic.
Yeah, depends on the psychic.
That's true, yeah. Maybe this is a respected one.
I think the octopuses deserve more respect because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
The octopus is going around a tank looking for a bit of food or something. The psychic believes it's bullshit. They believe their own bullshit.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Because if you were a psychic, you definitely would be spending your time predicting who would win the Euros. You would go, do you know what? This stuff's coming. Yeah. Where was he on the pandemic?
That's true.
Yeah?
I've no idea. No bloody idea. Well, mind you say this. Geller, as I said to Andy on the Teams of Our Lives on the Patreon the other day, Geller bailed us out against Scotland in Euro 96.
Bailed us out. Yeah, we've got him to thank. Tell us what else our psychic Nicholas says, Marcus, because if you don't say it, I will.
He says in 2020, so it's already defunct, that England will win the Euros.
Yeah.
He says he has lived many lives, including incarnations as an Egyptian queen and as a lion.
You see, the reason I don't read the running order, Luke, is I read that as psychic Nicola Anelka.
Yeah, very true.
Which would have been a twist.
Ironically enough, Nicola Anelka's got more insight into this.
You'd say so.
Yeah.
You would say so. And he has played and scored at Wembley, Andy, against England. On the other hand, though, we're talking about psychics, let's maybe a more scientific approach, shall we? A supercomputer, presumably one that Pete Donaldson owns, has predicted that England will win all their games in the group. They'll beat France 3-1 in the last 16.
Wow.
Which means France won't win their group. They'll beat Poland 3-2 in the quarters before suffering semi-final heartbreak at the hands of Denmark. And apparently the Czech Republic will then win it.
This is Lars Sivertsen's computer. Yeah.
They'll do what they didn't do in Euro 96, the Czechs. They'll go that one little step further and actually win it.
Win at Wembers.
Win at Wembers.
Imagine.
We started out, I know you've not talked about a psychic animal here, but there has been a real prevalence of psychic animals in the recent weeks.
Yeah.
And it used to, I can't stress this enough, it used to just be an octopus.
And it used to be the best part of the tournament.
Yeah, depending on how we got on. But it's all animals now. And I think to myself...
It's all animals now.
Why do we suddenly think animals know everything?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I know. Does it not?
Pete Donaldson builds his own supercomputers. That's what you need to know.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he could give us some kind of insight as well. And he'll be on at some point to tell us.
Is that going to happen every game?
I really
hope
so.
The ball in the car.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I can't remember. I think it was in the Portuguese League Cup final that I saw that for the first time earlier this season. It might have been the French League Cup final. No, of course, it was the Portuguese League Cup final because they'd been the French League Cup. And I remember seeing that in the Portuguese League Cup final, thinking, this is so cheap. And then seeing it in the Euros, going, wow, yes!
Maybe it'll be a different mode of transport for every game, like a little helicopter, a little hang glider.
Can you imagine?
Be wicked.
By the final, what
a cat
it be?
On a hang glider. With the match ball.
I just love how awkward the referee was when he had to bend over and just pick it up. You could tell.
I do feel like there's a lot of pressure on the guy driving that little car. Presumably he's a professional little remote control car driver.
Fair,
what if you hit a player?
He had tickers, he spun it round.
He did.
It was decent.
But what if you hit someone?
I bet he's been practicing for the entire year.
Yeah.
Since last year.
Handbrake turn for the final. Handbrake turn in the centre circle.
Wheelie.
Oh, love it. The Euros is underway. We are bloody loving it. We'll be back after this.
That image of the Danish players shielding him to let the medical team do what they needed to do, give him the privacy. The looks on their faces, it's something you never want to see, and something that you're not really prepared for the humanity of, almost, you know? So it's a really, really shocking thing. And obviously just so pleased that Christian Eriksen is being reported to be stable at the moment, and hopefully, you know, that continues and he continues to recover. But yeah, it's a really, really shocking moment that takes you out of the kind of festival carnival feel of a tournament, and is a real reminder, particularly, you know, as we are deep into the second year of a pandemic, of how precious life is and how tenuous it can be sometimes as well.
Exactly. I mean, I felt hollow at the time and hollow afterwards, and I still feel a bit hollow now, really. Yeah. Both in terms of the football and the tournament. To follow on from what Jim was saying, as well as praising the medical staff who did an incredible job, the dignity and brotherhood with which the Danish team dealt with it was fantastic. And, you know, I know it's the cliche about football being the least important of the most important of the least important things in the world. And I think it's true at a moment like this, and showing why what's good about international football, really, that brotherhood, that kinship. I think that's super important, because sometimes when you're trying to explain why international football matters, it's not about it being the pinnacle of sport anymore. I don't think it is, in terms of actual sporting excellence. But of course, sport means so much more than what happens on the field or on the court or in the arena or whatever. It's about how it makes everyone feel. And to see the shared feeling between those players, between the fans there, who I thought were extraordinary as well. And really, I think that's what international football is about. It's about representing your country and yourself with dignity and humanity. And I feel that's what Denmark and Finland's players did yesterday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Easy.
I was taking the bass part of that.
Good. I appreciate that. I was taking the lead singer part of that.
Come on! We're up and running, Jim!
We are.
Hey,
take that.
Take that, Sterling 57.
Name your favourite boy band as well.
Oh, Let Loose.
Which England also did in a way.
Yes. Well, the shackles came off slightly.
Yeah.
Once they got some reinforcements.
Oh, I tell you, England, their first ever win in an opening game at the Euros.
Yeah.
Ever. You can't take that
when
away.
When somebody said that stat, I was rifling through my memories. I was like, are you sure about
it? Have that, Modric. Yeah. Yeah. Last time he was powered by Badil and Skinner.
Yeah.
It only goes so far, doesn't it, though, Luca?
It does. Yes. He's been quite big on that this week. And he's like, they were a bit affronted by English arrogance. There was
you're not the first
one. Yeah, no. There was a lot written about how they actually know that Three Lions was kind of a little bit ironic last time, but they used that anyway. And I am just absolutely delighted to have put Croatia away. We have suffered at the feet of Modric many, many times. And you know what, Luca? You've been saying we're a bit arrogant. If that game had taken place later in the day, we'd have done you 2 or 3.
Your name is Luca. You live in the bottom placing.
Loser Modric. Back in your box.
Back in your box.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Who needs Hendo?
Yeah, that's true. You're forgetting, though, we did beat them in the UEFA Nations League.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. AKA the big one.
I wasn't forgetting that.
We won when it mattered.
Yeah.
It does feel good. It does feel good.
Especially because they knocked us out of Euro 2008 before it had even started.
One of the youngest teams of the tournament. Yes, we will have that 3 points. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we'll pinch that and we'll take it all the way to the bank. Oh, my goodness, gentlemen. It was nice. Do you know what? It was a bit strange with the lack of fans. Don't get me wrong, I am very much enjoying this tournament. I'm sure we all have. You more than ever, I think in the Premier League, we just got into that routine. Yeah. It was a regrettable routine, of course. And then when the fans sort of started coming back, and it was like, oh my goodness, it's just so nice to have people there in the FA Cup final and whatnot was good to see. Mm. Which actually, this tournament, I have felt that even with, say, 16,000 or whatever, how many fans has been there, like they've been missed.
Yeah.
And it really is quite...
They sound loud for the amount of people they are, but it's obviously it's still nowhere near a full stadium. But, what are you going to do?
That matched with the nature of the tournament, with it being played all around the place, one or two of the games I felt like it is like a sort of a glorified qualifier in a sense.
Yeah.
If you're qualifying for the next round. I don't mean to sort of put a dampener on it. Or as I say, I've very much enjoyed it and it's been great so far and it will continue to be, I'm sure. But it was weird seeing England playing in a sort of a sparsely filled stadium for a game like this when you think the tournament comes around and you're expecting,
I was a bit unsure about Euro fever because we haven't really had a break from the Premier League and stuff like that. And then the Ericsson stuff happened and I was a bit like, God, obviously I'm not a medical expert at all, but I was thinking about how's this happened, blah, blah, blah. And kind of got me a little bit more down as well. And then being there really kind of stuck me right back up. Yeah.
Yeah, the atmosphere did look initially the atmosphere looked incredible. The Czech Republic, they got to see a good goal, didn't they, Hamden? They got to see a bloody incredible Patrick Schick goal.
That's why I told them at the end, how good was that? Be happy you saw that.
Marshall in the net was fucking brilliant. It's like a man had fallen off a trapeze into a net. It was brilliant. Really threw himself in there.
If Kevin Keegan ever took up fishing, that's how he'd end up.
Yes.
Steve Clark didn't blame David Marshall for the amazing goal, for being so far up the field, but he's in the... No, Flash Score went one step further. They said, David Marshall is stranded way out of his goal after his team loses possession and Patrick Schick has the simplest of tasks to shoot the ball into an empty net from distance.
Yeah. It's a bit more to it than that, wasn't it? Because there was some proper weight and spin in it as well.
It was beautiful.
He added a little bit on there. But yeah, I think you can have the keepers out of position and that Hendry shouldn't have shot because it ricocheted off a defender and then gave the Czechs possession. But you have to take those two opinions as a multi-pack. They must not be sold separately. You can't have one and not the other. You have to have both or zero. Don't blame anyone or blame everyone.
Is it like, can you, separate it where, sometimes you go into a corner shop and it says, should not be sold separately.
And it's just sold separately.
This isn't even a must-win game for either team. You obviously want to start well, but it's not knockout football yet.
Germany got Portugal next.
Quite, but what I was I'm just making the point specifically in reference to Mbappe. The point is, if you go a goal down to France in a must-win game, you're up against the wall in a big way because he is so quick, and not only is he just quick, his runs are intelligent, his technique is unbelievable, and his feet, when he's got the ball at his feet, are so quick.
Yeah.
That one when he shifted it and smashed it in off the post, but it was ruled out, No one can deal with that. No one.
And I tell you what, older Mercedes Benzema has just slotted into the side, hasn't he? And actually, I know Giroud had some comments earlier on in the tournament and obviously was there when they won the World Cup.
That's the only thing that's going to undo them.
but he is a better player than Giroud.
And again, he suits their style more.
Yeah, you would never know he's in his early 30s. I mean, he he's in there and he looks magnificent.
Well, he's one of those players that's getting better and better in his 30s. And also, he's had a lot of time off of international football, which is probably going to help. Actually, this might have worked out perfectly. And also, I thought Griezmann had a really good game as well. That front three is just ridiculous.
And then behind them, obviously, Kante covers all the ground. And Pogba. But looks like when he plays for France, he looks like the best player in the world.
Pogba and Kante really gel as well.
Yeah, that's why I think the take about him looking like he gives a shit more for France is, in my opinion, a wrong take. Mm. For me, look at the players he's got around him at France. Mm-hmm. Look who he's got alongside him. What happens is for Manchester United, every player really, bar a handful at the very top level, have got kind of weaknesses to their game that kind of, at the very very top level. Pogba's weakness is he can kind of stroll around a bit, but he's got so much quality around him, in front of him, beside him, and behind him at France, that it's no coincidence to me that he looks better.
I mean, he grows an extra 6 inches when he plays. His body language, he looks like, I'm the best player here in this, and I'm going to dominate, and he does. I do think that there is an element at Manchester United where he sort of drops off his intensity and so on, but let's not dwell on that. We're talking about the Euros.
Mm. Come on, Scott McTominay is not his fault.
Yeah. Well, it's probably more Fred, I think. But
any player that plays alongside Paul Pogba and isn't N'Golo Kante is going to look worse because they're worse than N'Golo Kante.
Absolutely.
N'Golo Kante is arguably the world's best midfield player.
Yeah.
Certainly at what he does.
Certainly, yeah. And also, maybe having Deschamps as manager. Mm. I mean, there's a guy who knows exactly the role to play in the centre of the pitch. Now, hang on a minute. With Deschamps, he's won the World Cup as a player. Euros and World Cup as player.
If he wins the Euros as a manager, he's the only person to ever do both as player and manager.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
He said, water carrier.
He
said,
exactly. He's perhaps proven that.
The trophy carrier.
Yeah, indeed. He said before the game, I'm not here to have fun. If so, I would go to Club Med.
Yeah, water carrier. Get some water in.
Is that the one that used to be in Guildford, Club Med?
I think they're all over the place, weren't they? Back in the day. There used to be one in Guildford, I think.
Nice to know you were in there.
Yeah, probably, two blue wickets for a fiver?
I'd say so. It's not there anymore, by the way.
Nah,
I tried to go the other night.
That's a weird reference for him to drop, isn't it?
I don't think it's the Club Med that we see as Luke says popping up in provincial England.
I'm thinking it's like Luis Enrique going, oh, you know what, after this I'm just going to go to Butland.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to Yates's. I'm going down Spoons.
He probably made some exclusive members club in Monaco or something, Monte Carlo.
I think that's probably more likely, isn't it?
Howeth. I'm not sure that's the right pronunciation.
Welsh for easy, apparently.
Write in.
Welsh for easy.
Welsh friends.
Yeah.
Let us know how wrong we were.
And when you do write in, please acknowledge that we tried our best and it was an honest attempt.
It was an honest attempt. Yeah. And we looked it up and we just didn't, because it's written Howth,
maybe.
But with double Howth, D at the end, Howth, isn't it?
Maybe, yes, hard to say.
And also it's hard to know if it should have been two syllables or if we should have riffed it differently. Anyway.
Embrace the effort.
Embrace the effort, Wales. Too easy. 2-0.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It was so good. It felt like a knockout game.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I suppose because it had become must-win at that point, or it's certainly you identify that game in the group as must-win, Wales really, really approached it like that. I love as well that they absolutely bust in a gut for a second goal late on.
It's great stuff, because Turkey almost quite literally stopped playing. So Wales were like, well, we could just keep it in the corner, but they're not going to come and try and get it off us. Yeah. So what's the point? It was. I was saying on the WhatsApp group, wasn't I, towards the end of the game, I was saying that I genuinely thought, because it was really hot yesterday, I had this fan on, so I couldn't hear the commentary that well. I thought the whistler guy just not heard it. Yeah. But Turkey just stopped.
It's rubbish.
In what was essentially supposed to be a home game for them. But, of course, the fans were so far away from the pitch.
Yeah,
I mean, they might as well have stayed in Turkey.
That setup in Baku is
so bad.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And what about the feed as well?
The feed?
You never knew.
The TV kept cutting out.
Oh, I'm with you, sorry.
Different commentators, different all sorts going on.
Keep it lively. Although, to be honest, I'm not sure Robbie Savage's contribution of get it into the corner was that useful just as they then scored the second.
I don't know, though. I think if you're a Wales fan, you're probably, especially because Bale's missed a penalty, Aaron Ramsey's missed a couple of chances.
Your voice has gone funny since you fell in the canal.
Before you know it, I'll be on a rant. But you worry, don't you, that if it's a
you know, precarious scoreline that, like that, you do think get in the corner. But nope, Gareth Bale, a couple of times, just tried to run it into the goal because he saw it was there.
Yeah.
A year ago, Aaron Ramsey wouldn't have been playing in the Euros because he was injured. I mean, he was injured at the start of this season as well. Sorry, at the start of this year, calendar year as well, with the thigh. And he's had lots and lots of injuries. But, I mean, I don't know how... I don't know about you, Jim. I miss seeing it. Two seasons it is now since he's not been in the Premier League. Yes. I miss watching him playing in the Premier League.
It must be
a sort of happy and sad experience to get a chance to watch him again.
Well, it's just nice to see him do well. And also it's nice to see him and Gareth Bale.
It's like after a jilted lover.
It's like after a breakup. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's engaged.
Yeah. But him and Bale really, really turned up yesterday.
Oh yeah.
They are a cut above. You know, Turkey don't have equivalents of that, do they? And I think that's where the golfing quality showed.
It's baffling
the golf in quality.
Gareth Bale.
That's what I thought you said.
It's fair enough. I thought it was all right. I thought it was worthy of mention.
All right, another game from yesterday. Ukraine beat North Macedonia 2-1, which means North Macedonia, unfortunately for you, Peaks, I know they were one of your favourites coming into this.
Yeah.
They're the first country to be eliminated.
You tipped them to win it, didn't you?
I do not like to patronise, but I like the shirt very much. And, you know, I've enjoyed the fullback, Stefan Rostovsky's I Can't Hear You official Euro 2020 picture that he's been taken. Like, that's his main picture. He's sort of doing that.
Oh, going, nice.
Hi guys, I can't hear you.
He's like, this is high fashion, you wouldn't get it.
But something I've noticed with their first goal, something I've noticed in football is that if your goalkeeper is in the net, it's very hard to keep the ball out of the net because the keeper's in the net.
Is that a dig at David Marshall again?
Any digs at David Marshall are good for me.
Well, on today's show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they very much defended that first goal like they are the lowest ranked team in the tournament. But I don't think if you go into a match warming up the way they did, you've got much hope. Did you see? It was like Tony Adams was taking the training session.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The corns and the balls.
Yeah. I mean, what are they doing? They must have thought, we are going to look like twats.
Don't do that on the pit.
Scott Brown was furious. I've never seen Scott Brown so angry.
What? Are you sure?
Basically, they showed them doing this coned warm-up thing, and if you haven't seen it, you probably will find it online.
Upturned corn, like traffic corn looking things with footballs on the top. Like the car on the first match.
Yeah, shuttle
just doing
runs
that.
And then swapping the ball between the cones each time at the end, right? Mm. And I can't remember who was doing the coverage, the host. It might have been Seema, maybe. And she said to Scott Brown, Scott, have a look at this. You know, you think about going into management, do you think you'd do this as a warm-up? And they cut to him, and he's just sneering.
No. I think I'll rule that one out.
Oh. Like, Scott, I can say something. You know? So, it was strange. I don't think it set the right tone, did it?
It's just a bit naff, isn't it?
The story that Don Hutchison tells about a Scotland playing Brazil in the first game of World Cup 98, where they're all doing shuttle runs in the tunnel because the opening ceremony's overrun, and one of them caught through the window the Brazil team, who were just dancing around in their kit. And they were like, we're fucked. We are fucked here. And to be fair, they went pretty close, Scott, in that game. But it's a bit like Ukraine. Right, we've got to get off this. It's a must-win game for us. And they look over and they're doing that. Good news is we're playing against eight-year-olds on a sports day, doing dads and kids fucking games.
There's part of me that kind of likes it in a way, because it's like, it takes me back to the World Cup where, like, Senegal were amazing, weren't they? They'd always be dancing before the match. And they were always having a great time. Well, this is just a little bit embarrassing.
But that was quite cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
But if they'd have got something out of this match, you're like, well, look, maybe the Barcelonas of this world could learn a thing or two.
Had the whole occasion been ruined for you prior to the match? Because were you offended by seeing a few Scottish willies in London?
Oh, I've really enjoyed the Scottish willies. It really has been. I think
some of the videos doing the rounds.
You know my opinions on the England team, the England supporters.
Sections of the fans.
Most of them. 99%.
I disagree with that.
99.9%.
No, I disagree. But let's
doesn't matter.
Agree to disagree.
But I would very much like an Instagram filter where I, whenever I see like England fans, I just want to put a kilt on them. I'm happy.
Is that right?
They can get up to whatever. Put a kilt on them, and it's less offensive to me somehow.
Is that what happened with Axl Rose? You in the hot pants, not having it. Kilt. Oh, hello.
Axl Rose never done anything problematic, has he? What are you having to go in for? Model citizen.
I've never done anything any problematic on time.
Yeah, he performed better at Wembley than England did last night.
He would have been getting there now.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. He's definitely, Axl Rose is definitely putting a better performance at Wembley than those boys last night for England. Yeah. But I would really like to say, unless it gets, sometimes on this show, it gets forgotten in the maelstrom because we like to have a good time and get carried away with ourselves and all the rest of it. I would like to put it on record right now. Uh-huh. I thought Scotland were excellent. Yep. And they should be, we should, rather than just focus on how poor we thought England were, we should also focus on the fact that Scotland were pretty good.
Don't worry, Graeme Souness is not at the window.
He just sent me a text.
But John McGinn and players like Ilmore, they just removed our spine, like sub-zero. They just
Scottish midfield was great.
Centre of the pitch, we just get, like, we were having so many problems, and I don't know why Southgate just went, don't pass it into midfield, in the centre of midfield, they are crossing, they are closing down every single avenue, every single England player has. It was brilliant.
Nice little Mortal Kombat reference from Pete there.
Yeah, did you say Sub-Zero?
Sub-Zero.
Yeah, he was the blue one to Scorpion's yellow one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They both got similar.
The red one? It was the third one.
He was
the
secret
one.
Yeah. It was green, wasn't he? Like lizard or something.
Sure, if he's
lizard,
a secret, don't tell it.
Sorry, everyone. Marcus, did you think, because I felt like at half-time, I thought, this is fine because there's no way Scotland will be able to keep this up. Because the energy was so high. But they did.
Well,
they did.
Callum McGregor is a complete footballer.
Yes.
He's got everything to his...
But that's the thing. When people say, oh, they're not going to be able to keep that up in terms of the high-intensity pressure or whatever, well, you don't have to. It's not one way of playing. That's game management. Scotland managed the game very, very well. And they also know that if you drop off against England and you get in your zones and all the rest of it, you don't let the likes of Sterling run in behind and whatnot, then England are just going to pass the ball to the one fullback, and there's nothing on. All right, back to defend. I mean, let's try the other fullback. No, they seem to have cut off
in the 5 minutes
well.
That it took to get over there.
You can see it coming.
That's all well and good, but that's only because England were moving the ball so slowly.
Well, England lacked intensity. What I honestly think is that in the build-up to this game, I thought, like most people probably thought, that England will win this game. The closer it got to the kickoff, and then on the day, I thought, I think England might struggle here to break them down, and I think this could be a great Scottish performance. And in fact, the way the game panned out, I thought wouldn't be surprising if Scotland nicked it. It could have gone either way. I genuinely think a draw was the right was a fair result, if you like. If there's such a thing as a fair result, but I think that England, I think that Scotland, when you look and you see all those fans descend on London and the fantastic support they have and the good feeling and all the rest of it, it pushes you forward. It really does give you a lot of momentum, as you say. They're a great testimony to Scotland, the fans, and obviously the players on the pitch. And that builds it nicely. It gives you the impetus and it makes everybody up for it and you snap into tackles and all the rest of it. And people sometimes get a bit, that's a bit old-fashioned, you know, being first to the ball. No, all that's relevant. You can have all the quality, you know. Kante's first to every ball. He's intelligent and he's got all the quality, but he does all that stuff as well.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't playing for Scotland last night.
I don't know. It was either him or McGinn. I can't remember. Yeah. But with England, I thought that perhaps my guess is they've gone too far the other way, because the idea is for the superior side on paper, you sort of think, no, let's not get dragged in, let's not do that, blah, 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 blah. But I think they've gone too far the other way. And actually England thought, oh, okay, let's let Scotland run around a bit and have a few tackles. Our quality, our superiority on paper, I stress, will show. And actually, from the first moment when, was it Dykes went in?
On
with
Shaw.
You put one in, it's the old stuff. And what I think England did wrong is they should have approached it as, that lads, this is a Premier League game. Let's approach it like that. And so the only time we've seen this time and time again. They kept bloody, I'm glad we're not going to see Gazza's goal and all that Euro 96 guff for the rest of the tournament. They're going on and on about that. There's been a handful of games between England and Scotland since then. The 99 playoff game when Scotland beat England at Wembley.
England went for an aggregate.
The 2-2 at Hampden when England thought they switched off and the two great free kicks. But the one I saw, which was a friendly at Celtic Park, Hodgson, rare praise for Hodgson's England. Let's get this out of the way quickly. When they faced that game, he was like, right, lads, into every chat. And Strachan said after the game, Scotland was spooked by England, because England sort of did to Scotland what Scotland normally do to England in those games.
Yeah.
And England were way off the tempo, and I thought they completely mismanaged
thing. The first half in Euro 96 wasn't very good.
Yeah, that's right.
England were terrible, but it only took, you know, some a bit of poor defending and a cracking goal, and we all remember that bit. But it was the first half was terrible.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that Pete. I thought you make some excellent points there, Marcus, and Pete kind of followed up with some as well. I would just say that it's not the first time, and nor will it be the last, that England have had a poor kind of night at the office in the group stage, right? Mm. So England have a record of occasionally going to the latter stages of tournaments, having done that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you don't even need to go that far back. You could say 1990, when the whole group stage was a bit of a shit show. Mm-hmm. The opening game in Euro 96 was the same. Mm-hmm. Even the opening game in 2018, they nicked it at the end, but it wasn't a great performance. Yeah. But no one really remembers that because of the lateness of the goal, right? So it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
We mustn't go
treat
too
it
far.
For what
one
this is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 4 points, but, no goals conceded. It's great.
Exactly. They haven't been beaten. They haven't even conceded the goal.
Yeah, everyone is great. No, no, you're right. I take that.
But to tap into what you're saying, Marcus, and make a kind of follow-up point to that, absolutely, that's spot on. You have to do all those things right. Mm-hmm. But you have to look at that England team that started that game last night, and then you have to look at the players that came on and say none of them, including Kane, particularly in the form he was on, which he was absolutely dreadful last night, none of them are that type of player. Mm-hmm. They lead by example type players. It's no coincidence that I think it's much more likely that England would have going to put that top of performance in last night without a Maguire and without a Henderson.
Henderson was a missing
because
in the field.
Because Harry Kane is not that type of leader anyway. And even Roy Keane talked about it before the game. He said, look, there are different ways of leading. It hasn't all got to be the way I used to do
course,
it.
Yeah.
But there have been occasions where he hasn't dug anyone out or shown that we know of. Mm-hmm. So overall,
it was
really
so lethargic,
disappointing night.
And the intensity from England wasn't there.
Absolutely. And if I take your point that you said about Scotland, everyone gets into their shape, so it looks like a back five, almost like a four in front at times, and it's difficult for them. We know this because everyone knows this, and it's easier said than done, and I appreciate that. But what you've got to do is two things. You've got to move the ball from side to side and try and drag them out of position.
You've got to do it quickly.
And you've got to find one point where one person isn't in his position in time,
and
you exploit that gap.
Exactly,
and England have got the players to do that, and Foden tried to do it a lot.
Yeah.
And the other thing you've got to do, which is what Gilmore did brilliantly, he's brilliant at this, he knows when to up the pace.
Yeah.
He'll take a touch into a space when he needs to. If he wants to up the tempo, he'll go one touch.
Yeah.
He's amazing at dictating the pace. Mm. I've only seen him play probably about four times. And he was man of the match, and rightly so. Yeah. And every time I've seen him play, I saw him play for Chelsea against Liverpool, where he was outstanding. He had a little run of games. Played against Everton as well, I think, maybe one other. And he's on his debut for the Champions League, I think he was man of the match as well. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic player. And no one in that midfield for England could deal with what he was bringing. Mm. He had that snap and that bite of McGinn. Yeah. McGregor did a bit of everything, as you said, Pete. And Gilmore just dictated the pace. And for all the press and for all the attention, and we mustn't get carried away because it's only one game, but Mount was off doing his thing. All the attention Phillips got after the Croatia game, attention Rice gets, they couldn't deal with it.
No.
And that's where the game was won and lost, because the dictating of the pace, that Scotland didn't really seem to be out of control, even though they didn't have an awful lot of the ball.
So you're saying Portugal too narrow. Are you thinking it's time for Ronaldo to go back out wide?
I think it is, yeah. No, narrow in defence. They were very, very narrow. But they just looked like a team who didn't trust themselves enough to defend, and they didn't trust themselves enough to attack. And they were just like, they were caught between two bus stops, Marcus.
Once again. And that is the last place you want to be. Well, perhaps they were pinned back by Germany, because Yogi Löw said that he wanted his side to be more vigorous in attack, and they were. Wing-backs, Robert Earnshaw in the ITV highlights with that magnificent jacket, looking like a sort of, I don't know, some sort of, there should be a painting of him sitting on a horse somewhere in a museum with that kind of jacket on. But he was very impressed with the wing-backs that Germany utilised very, very well. And Robin Gosens was man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an all-round display from Germany though, wasn't it? Which is what they needed.
That opener that should have been, that kind of improvised kind of volley was fantastic.
Was
very annoyed.
Yeah.
Bloody VAR getting in the way of a good time.
See, this is the thing with VAR, though, isn't it? Even when it gets it right, you're like, oh, but I like goals.
Yeah. I like that kind of goal.
It is a bit frustrating. I mean, it's straight from the off, though. Germany were in there. I mean, Havertz went in on Pepe quite early on. And
smart move. I mean, brave move.
Well, he learned from Lyndon Dykes.
Yeah.
As all the top strikers in Europe probably do now. But
still,
I think
painful, Marcus. Please don't be
a painful draw. Matt Hummels also put one in on Cristiano Ronaldo. This was in the first 10 minutes. They're that intent.
Yeah.
That Steve
the intensity
Clark,
you demanded.
Steve Clark intensity that Yogi Love thought, I'm having a bit of that.
I think, you know, even a written off Germany is still a Germany full of
So you wrote them off,
stars.
Did you?
I'm not saying I wrote them
you
off.
You know who.
Sounds like someone had a pen in this room. And I'm not going to leave until we find out.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think Portugal underestimated them maybe, or is that just a narrative we sort of transpose onto it afterwards?
If you underestimate the Germans, that's what happens. I'm not sure. I think that Germany, they had to win this game. They lost to France. They're suddenly playing against Portugal, the holders, who have got phenomenal attacking talent, as we know. Mm-hmm. And they had to go for it. And straight off from the off, as I say, for those two early challenges, boom, straight in there. And they got the home advantage as well, which has a little bit of a help.
Yeah. If Portugal hadn't scored first, would you say that they...
I don't think that deterred much of the performance, though.
You reckon?
Well, because it just Germany would be like, right, well, same job.
Yeah.
and went about it. And as I say, getting... Well, you say about Portugal, you know, having a bit of a narrow defence or whatever. Well, Germany, as I say, with the wing-back, it's push them, pin them back. Mm. And if we do that, it should work. And my goodness, it did. You can't deny. I mean, look at the result, for crying out loud. I mean, yes, Robert Dias putting in his own guy. I mean, I should say, we're bringing a tweet from Fox Danger, who said, Pete's ruined Ruben Dias for me. Ever since he claimed his name was Portuguese for Robert Dias, it's all I've been able to think about when he plays 90 minutes of mid-range home electrical products and garden furniture.
Well, where else are you going to get a Rawson 30-piece tool set for $19.49?
I can't
check the website.
I wouldn't know where to start answering that question.
Great to see. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, congrats, Hartlepool. Right, let's get back to the shittest dark horses in the history of equestrian idioms.
The dark donkeys.
That's like a bad horse, is it?
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. I suppose it is.
Well, I guess
it?
A bad horse is like a frog or something.
Right, yeah. The worst horse.
I guess it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can't ride on that.
The shit frogs, as Turkey will forever be known now.
Because you could ride on a donkey or a pony or many other things, even a big
It would
dog
fill, it would fulfill many
to.
Of the promises that a horse makes.
Yes.
A donkey.
Yes, exactly. So that's actually quite good. Mm. Anyway, that's not what Turkey are. Switzerland beat them 3-1. Turkey conceding 62 shots across three games. Their -7 goal difference and no points is the fifth worst Euros performance ever.
And like, you know, many of us were sucked into thinking that Turkey were likely to do very well because of their record in getting into the tournament.
Because
they did
Brassel.
Really, really well, and because of Andy. Yeah.
And you got to remember that record was a year ago, because if they'd gone straight in the Euros, it may have been a different story.
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess that's where it's fallen down, isn't it? Because it's been absolutely abysmal, hilariously bad.
To be fair, they did have a real good go at the start of this match, and as soon as. But as soon as the Seferovic's goal went in 6 minutes in, it really did just kind of like fold a little bit. It was just like,
his celebration was great, wasn't it? I don't know who he was angry with, but it was pretty specialist.
Yeah, it's been a lot of angry celebrations in this.
Yeah, some more enjoyable than others.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a game of worldies, wasn't it? Really?
No, it was a game that just added a few more million onto the price of Shaqiri, I think, for Liverpool are going to get.
Yeah.
he's such a funny player, isn't he, Shaqiri? I feel like he's
fit.
He's never really been a regular anywhere, even when fit, though. It's such an odd thing.
Mm. He backs it, well, as he should. He backed himself. His post-match, he said, "My first goal with my right foot was very good technique."
It was brilliant.
Good on you.
It's like, not only is he providing the entertainment, he's providing the punditry as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zerdan. Delightful. The Turkey's manager, Senol Gunay, said he bears responsibility, but also it's the media's fault.
Speaking
of the media,
go down well.
Emma Hayes, I thought, was going to just start throwing elbows. She was so angry. Because, you know, Turkey's strength was kind of in their defence going into the competition a year ago.
Yeah.
But, their defence was just caught out of position all of the time. And, she was fuming. And for any manager, I think, watching that, would be like, fuck off, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Jeez,
so frustrating. Well, what it means is there was this sort of semi-jeopardy created in the idea that if there was a 5-goal swing for Wales and Switzerland, then Wales would finish third. But in the end, it is Switzerland who finished third on goal difference, and they got to wait and see what happens next.
Look, it was incredible to see it all unfold, as you say, Luke, because both games kicking off at the same time. I had double screens, was watching them all, writing everything down as it happened. And it was just so exciting. And it almost felt like, in front of that home crowd in Copenhagen as well for Denmark, once they got that second goal and the third goal, it was just like an eruption of the crowd. They knew that they were through. Mm. They also kind of just kept going, as you say, Jim, to score four goals, beating Russia by 4-1 in their final group stage game. It was amazing. And the goals, by the way, what was the pick of the bunch for you? I reckon Christensen's maybe. Or was it? Or do you think it was Damsgaard's
first?
Well,
it was Damsgaard.
They were both pretty good.
Damsgaard was an absolute beauty, right? And then Christensen was like, hold my beer. Because I am absolutely going to smash the lever off this ball.
It was like a breakthrough in a therapy session.
Yeah.
It was. The whole game.
A bit too close to the... For you or for them?
Both. Yeah.
It was incredible because obviously Damsgaard's goal was amazing.
I think Christensen's though, because there was the double save from the keeper in the build-up. The keeper must have been buzzing, must have thought, yeah, I've kept this one out, we're still in this sort of... And then Christensen just goes, nah.
It had absolutely everything.
Yeah,
first of all, I've never seen Andreas Christensen hit the ball like that. Mm. And it went for a crowd of players. And he hit it so hard that even though he was about 30 yards out, the keeper didn't really dive until it was in the back of the net. Mm. It's incredible. But also, the game had absolutely everything. Even Højbjerg with a bandage on his head. And is it possible to have a proper dramatic tournament game without some player having a bandage on their head?
It can't be done.
No.
It just simply cannot be done. To the point where people would... Maybe people saying, like, did Kiefer Moore have that bandage on his head when he came on? It's like, no, it's just, if there is drama, a bandage will ensue.
He wears it all the time, Kiefer Moore. He's probably ready. He's only the player at international
level. Injured.
Yeah, he spends more time with the bandage on his head than not on his head. But it was crazy. It was a crazy game. Great stuff. Great occasion. Really enjoyable. I think England could have scored more goals last night than they wanted. Personally, I don't understand the negativity. I genuinely think it's baffling. Mm. Like, I think that
Pete wasn't negative.
Well, quite.
He had a lot. He sent us a message. He says, "Guys, I've had a drink."
Yeah, that made me reassess. So I was thinking, "My God, yeah, even Pete's being positive." I don't think for a second. And I think the most insightful thing anyone said in that broadcast last night was our friend Pugac, who said, "If other teams were doing this, you'd be going, oh." They're just going about their business. They haven't conceded a goal. They're doing this, they're doing that.
We have seen some of those other teams win tournaments, though.
Fine, but we can't be objective about it, obviously, because it's England. It's harder for us to do so, if not impossible. Mm-hmm. But you're fine. They're not banging in the goals all over the place. Look at the games they've had to play. Right, they've played Croatia, who we've seen and we're going to come on to, are capable. They're a capable side. They go away from home in a crunch, clutch game, and they just ruthlessly take the game away from Scotland. We had a derby game against Scotland, which we got dragged into the trenches with. Mm-hmm. And we've had this game against Czech Republic, who beat Scotland, who look okay. And Southgate said himself, I know it suits him to say this, but I actually agree with him. Mm-hmm. Their FIFA ranking is a red herring. They're not as bad as they look. They're a good team. They've got good players. And we've seen how, you don't need to take his word for it. Look how good Suchet's been this season in the Premier League. Look how good Soufal's been. Patrick Schick's set the tournament on fire. And we've not conceded a goal. And there is definitely more to come from England.
You certainly hope so. I mean, a lot of people were saying, oh, because England, you know, not that long ago, you know, they beat Czech Republic 5-0 at Wembley. But more recently, Czech Republic beat England in the group, but for whatever that's worth. But, I mean, England, I know what you mean. I think that people want what is happening with the Italian side at the moment. And I understand that. That is what you want. But Southgate has clearly... Trying to take his lead from, say, Deschamps and France, which is why it is absolutely crucial that France don't finish second in Group F today.
and that's the thing. And I said that going into this tournament, England's best chance is just to go for it. It's just to trade with teams and hope you score more goals. And I said that because I didn't think that England were capable of the level of control they've shown so far in this tournament.
So has your opinion changed slightly?
It has, but with the caveat that I don't know if they've got enough control. And I don't know if they can maintain or improve even their control against a better team. But the point being that I don't know why people can't see it. The two things that are absolutely baffling me about England this tournament and the coverage of it. One is people seem to think we can play 15 players. Why aren't you playing him? Why aren't you playing him? Why aren't you playing?
There's definitely
I can't fucking play all of them, you know. And secondly, why we're so negative about a team who, if you actually watch the matches, right, maybe people are just down the pub with their mates and they've got half an hour on the game or whatever. Well, they, you know, fair enough, they just got a different opinion to me, which is absolutely fair, obviously. They're trying to do things like show that they can control situations. If you go back to, even if you go back to 2018, it was a bit of a roller coaster. England weren't in control of anything, and they weren't in control in 2016, obviously, and they haven't been in control. I don't think they've been in control of themselves in a football tournament since I've been watching football, right? They even go all the way back to World Cup 90 or Euro 96. They're not in control of it. They're capable of moments. And what they're trying to do here, and you can see it, if you care enough, go back and watch the game from last night. Watch what the fullbacks are doing. What's Kyle Walker known for in his club career? He's up and down all day. His pace is ridiculous. He can hurt teams. He plays a role in that Man City team. The amount of times he had the ball last night, looked up the wing, looked inside, and just played the simple square ball because I think he's been coached. I know Gary Neville disagreed. Fair enough. He probably knows more than me. But it looked to me like they've been coached to say, we are going to control the game for a period of time. And then, as you said, Marcus, before we came in, and I'm sure you can expand on it, they go on raids. Yeah. They go, for the next 10 minutes, we're gonna execute the press, and then we're going to go on raid, and Maguire's going to be given the opportunity to go forward. Stones are going to go forward. We're going to play long balls from Pickford. We're going to pick out little runners. They seem pretty well in control of things for the most part, and that's the key. Czech Republic still had opportunities. Yep. It's not perfect. It never will be perfect. But I would be overall very, very positive about this group so far. But the caveat is that it's still relatively untested against what I would consider to be a genuinely good team.
This is it, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think England have set the agenda very, very well in the group generally. A bit different against Scotland, but as you've already touched on, that was, you know, that was dragged into the trenches in a slightly different situation. But this is it, isn't it? It's like, can you set an agenda against France? You know, they are probably more likely to be the ones, you know, in control of the tempo. But is part of you not, like, kind of excited about the fact that we're going to have one of the big boys next, almost certainly.
Yeah, like, go on then. Let's test it.
Well, I think.
Imagine if England get through. Imagine if they beat like a Portugal or a France or a Germany, Marcus. Do it. Imagine it now.
He imagines it all the time.
Yeah, like, but that's the point, isn't it, about tournament football? Is that, of course, you imagine these things because it's possible. That's why it doesn't make you an arrogant England fan or in any of that bollocks, which I don't think most England fans are, actually. It's unhelpful sections of the press. But you know, and to back this up, how many times have we heard actually members of the media and the press talking about, oh, what would we prefer? Would we prefer an easier draw? Do you think they're saying that the French side? Probably not. Do you think Mancini's going, oh, lads, maybe we'll finish second? Because that's not how they're going about it. England do, because they're aware of their limitations and also how it worked out well in Russia. But you can't go, oh, we don't want to finish top of the group and then we'll have to play in a foreign... Yeah. And I don't think Wembley's it's not Anfield on a Champions League night or something, but it's less disruptive if you have to move around and that's
why the way the England fans behaved last night was encouraging. There was a lot of positivity because England fans can turn that into a really difficult place for England to play, which we don't want to see. This is a big opportunity. When's the next time we're going to get tournament games at Wembley? We just don't know.
Poland. Jim, Wozniak Szczesny was caught having a cigarette hours before Poland's draw with Spain. And when we say he was caught having a cigarette, he sort of didn't seem to hide it. He wasn't sort of sitting in the shower like he was that time.
I'm starting to feel like we should give him credit for all the cigarettes we don't catch him having.
Exactly.
Well, we don't know how many there are. He could be chaining 40 a day.
Yeah.
And no one can tell.
Yeah. I like that some of the replies to this would naturally be like, oh, you know, smoking's not illegal. And it's like, well, sure, but like, he is a professional athlete.
Yeah.
That is the point, you know, damaging your lungs when you need them so much to play football.
I mean, if he was caught having a big tub of ice cream like 10 minutes before kickoff, well, it's not illegal. No, it isn't. But in the context of what's going on, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't really...
Imagine how rotten you'd feel in that if you've eaten a tub of ice cream.
Still got it all around your mouth.
In goalkeeper kit as well.
Yeah.
It's just curdling in your stomach.
We should say that wasn't the case. We haven't caught him doing that yet.
No.
So, gentlemen, we've got it. We know the draw for the second round. It begins on Saturday. We've got a couple of days down days.
Don't know what to do myself.
Yeah, what do we do?
Do we just watch Euro 96 highlights? I think it's that, isn't it?
I've been doing that anyway.
Yeah.
So that's my alarm clock. It just comes on. Oh,
yeah.
It's Colin Henry.
You don't have to go up to Glasgow. Keep going up and down. I say have to as if it was a chore. You had a lovely time, didn't you?
I did have a lovely time, yeah.
You were sad or pleased to see Scotland go out? Because you are
sad.
Quite bitter.
No, I'm not bitter. You used to live there. You're the one with the bad memories. Yeah. no, I it was... It's
generally been quite nice. But yeah, it is quite sad that they won't be there. But there was only one other game at Hampden Park, and that was the other round of 16 on the day that England play on Tuesday. Mm. I think that was Italy. What? Against someone else.
No, Italy, Austria, is that not on the Saturday? Italy, Wembley, yeah.
That's talking gibberish here.
We'll let the listeners do their own Googling if
yes,
you want to find that out.
But there is a game on Tuesday that I think I might be going to, I'm not sure.
Oh, you're not sure?
Yeah.
Will they have you back?
I'd like to think so. I thought it was a very good, I was going to say customer, I wasn't a customer of Glasgow, but I thought it was a very good visitor, and yeah. I'd love to visit again.
Okay, well... on Saturday, of course, we do look forward to Wales versus Denmark in Amsterdam and Italy versus Austria in London.
I'm very looking forward to Italy in London. I don't know why. It makes no difference to me.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be in the stadium, but I'm looking forward to seeing what.
Well,
they've
lit up the tournament.
They've been
one of the most entertaining.
There's
sides.
Some cracking games.
I know. So
we got Italy v Austria, Belgium, Portugal, France, Switzerland, uh-huh. Croatia, Spain. Just keeps going, doesn't it? Sweden versus Ukraine, who will obviously both be absolutely bricking it, having seen what England do to Germany earlier that day. Netherlands against the Czech Republic and Wales v Denmark.
Do you think it'll be a little bit like, you know, England would have wiped the floor with them? Probably the game will be called off early at 6 p.m. for the 5 p.m. kickoff. So look, they can't take any more.
Yeah, just out of
you
respect to Germany.
And so they've got... They would have 2 hours of build-up thinking, well, we don't want to go through. Yeah. And they're just like, they have to come up with some agreement where neither of them go through and we get through to the semi-final.
Well, I think Germany will be relieved that they avoided Belgium, unlike Portugal.
Sweden-Ukraine, by the way, is the game that would be in that is going to be in Hampden Park.
Who is going to play in yellow?
I think they should both play in yellow and blue.
Yeah, good idea, Vish. On tomorrow's show, you're back with Kate and Pete.
Yes, yeah.
Looking forward to that, brother man. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the downtime. Make the most of it. Sleep well. And we'll be ready to go on Saturday when the fixtures come back. Until then, thank you very much, Vitushan Hantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you,
thanks, you, ladies and gentlemen.
See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more... And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.